Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah. Yeah!
Welcome to a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. Right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Always happy to be along with you on the afternoon drive. And today, and we have a lot to get into. We're going to talk a lot of baseball on the show. Typically, Bill Lasky joins us every Monday. This is kind of an odd week. You know, today's kind of like Monday, except it's Tuesday. So we're going to catch up with Bill Lasky. I look forward to that segment every single week. We'll make the rounds throughout Major League Baseball. We'll talk AL and NL. That's coming up in just a bit here on the show. Also today, we're going to be joined by a great friend of mine, Steve Bortstein. And I'm looking forward to this conversation as well. Yesterday, we had the sad news of Bill Buckner passing away at the age of 69, ending a battle that he had with dementia. Very sad to see Bill Buckner pass away. And I believe that he is the most mislabeled athlete in sports, definitely in baseball. I don't think there's any question about it. Bill Buckner was a very good baseball player, and we will always remember him, unfortunately, for the year. And I just don't, that's not right. And I think the conversation that I want to have today regarding Buckner is a look at his career and maybe at some of the other athletes that have been mislabeled. This will be a very interesting conversation, to say the least. I'm looking forward to that. It's coming up on the show today as well. So in the meantime, let's take a look at what's happening in the national realm, and we will begin with Major League Baseball. You hate to see stories like this. Odubel Herrera, Philadelphia Phillies outfielder, was arrested on a charge of simple assault following a domestic incident in Atlantic City Monday night. He's been placed on administrative leave by Major League Baseball per the league's domestic violence policy. The leave can last up to 7 days while officials look into the arrest, and it can be extended while the probe continues. Matt Klentak, the Phillies general manager, said today that he can't discuss specifics of Herrera's case, but he did say that the outfielder called the team to apologize. The Atlantic City Police Department said in a statement that was posted on Facebook and also on ESPN that the officers responded to the Golden Nugget Hotel and Casino on Monday after a report of domestic violence was made. Officers found Herrera's 20-year-old girlfriend with visible signs of injury to her arms and neck that was sustained after being assaulted by her boyfriend. That's what it says in the Facebook post. Herrera's 27 years old, starting center fielder's not had the best of seasons, hitting .222, has one home run and 16 RBIs this season. From an X's and O's standpoint, a depth chart standpoint, the Phillies have some platooning that they can do in the outfield. And like I said, Herrera has not been great. Nick Williams was called up, and he will play left field against the Cardinals, who have Adam Wainwright on the mound tonight. Andrew McCutchen's going to shift to center field, and Scott Kingery will be an option to play center field against left-handers as well. So the Phillies do have some options, but you just hate to read stories like this. I'm a fan of the way Odubel Herrera plays, and really this Phillies outfield has not gotten off to the best of starts this season. I mean, they have struggled, including Bryce Harper. You hate to read stories like this. Let's take a look at what's happening in Major League Baseball. Right now, we have one game that is actually at a pause between the Royals and the White Sox. Homer Bailey was going up against Ivan Nova in that contest. 4:35, we're going to have plenty of baseball. San Diego will travel to meet the New York Yankees once again. Pittsburgh's on the road taking on the Cincinnati Reds. Jordan Lyles will go up against Lucas Sims. 5 o'clock hour, we get Detroit at Baltimore. The Phillies again taking on the St. Louis Cardinals and Adam Wainwright at 5:05. Cleveland will travel to meet Boston. We get Toronto at Tampa Bay. San Francisco will take on the Miami Marlins. Jeff Samardzija goes up against Trevor Richards. The Nationals will take on the Braves. Steven Strasburg will toe the rubber for the struggling Nationals. The Cubs take on the Houston Astros. It's a potential World Series matchup there. The Cubbies right now playing decent baseball. John Lester has been fantastic for Chicago all season long. Kansas City will travel to beat the White Sox at 6:10, game two of a doubleheader. We get Milwaukee at Minnesota, Arizona at Colorado, all of those games in the 6 o'clock hour. Three games in the 8 o'clock hour tonight, Texas at Seattle. The Angels will take on the A's, and then we get the Dodgers playing host to the Mets. Last night, Monday Night Baseball, Memorial Day on ESPN, we got to see just how great Cody Bellinger really is, and I want to talk about that performance as well coming up on the show today. That's a quick look at what's happening in the national sports front. We'll give you the local sports recap, and again, we'll be joined by Steve Bortstein, and also we'll be joined by Bill Lasky. A lot of baseball talk coming up on this Tuesday edition of Drive Time Sports right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Hey, this is Nick Tropiano with the Anaheim Angels, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini. Here comes a comeback. The
kid is back, back on track, and everybody loves a comeback. We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. We're going to talk a lot of baseball today, the day after Memorial Day. And that's such an intricate part to the baseball season. It's kind of like MLK as far as the NBA goes. I love Memorial Day for Major League Baseball. We had games all day yesterday. And joining us to talk about that and more, we have Bill Lasky, former big league pitcher, always kind enough to take out the time to join us. Bill, thank you again for the time.
Yeah, good day. Again, yesterday, a great day to honor the fallen men and women of our military for Memorial Day, and a time to just reflect on some of the things and some of the people that you and I've known over the years. And it's a day where baseball family and friends come out and honor everyone.
Yeah, it truly is just a magnificent day for the sport in itself. And Bill, it's baseball all day. So if you have the day off, you can kick back and you can literally watch game after game after game. And I compare it to MLK in the NBA, because it seems like that's when the casual fans really start to take note of the NBA. It's such a long season that when you have NBA basketball from 9 a.m. until 9 p.m. at night, that's when you kind of lock in on the casual fans. And I kind of feel baseball is the same way. Memorial Day is when the lighthearted baseball fans start to take note.
You're absolutely right. I mean, summer's right around the corner. A month of May is ending. You got June coming in. The kids are going to be out of school. And this is a time when you try to latch on to some. Little League's going strong, and latch on to your team and try to figure out why they're losing so much and cheer them on when they're winning so much. And out here on the West Coast, San Francisco, I got the Giants that are really struggling, and just struggling. They lost 3 out of 4 to Atlanta and then got swept by the D-backs. And then you look on the other side of the Bay, and the Oakland and A's have won 10 straight. And people don't even recognize that. And they've been playing real good baseball. Of course, Chapman's back, and he's hitting the hell out of the ball. And their team's starting to gel a little bit better.
Bill, you mentioned the Giants, and I want to start there because you and I had a conversation last week about Austin Riley, a kid that the Braves farm system, by the way, has just been off the charts over the last couple of years. I mean, if it's Acuna, if we're talking about Ozzie Albies, if we're talking about Austin Riley, I mean, they are just loaded with talent in that farm system, and we're starting to see a lot of it come up. Now, you had a chance to watch Austin Riley up close and personal last week, and this is the thing about this kid. He's a third baseman. There's no spot for him at third base right now, but he was tearing the minor leagues apart. The Braves had no choice but to bring him up, find a spot for him in left field after he plays 4 or 5 games in the minors in the outfield. He comes up, and he is hitting the crap out of the ball. I know he's had his fair share of struggles in the field from time to time. Has been terrible in left field. But whatever he's doing in the field, it's overshadowed by what he's doing at the plate, and you're impressed by him as well.
100% right, and that Atlanta Braves team has a quality number of young players. Ford, with you talking Swanson at shortstop at 25 years old, Albies, Acuna, and Riley all at 20 and 21 years old. Just a fabulous nucleus of players. And when you put all that together and you bring in some older guys like Freddie Freeman, and just the nucleus of the team is just going to gel. You got to look at the starting staff. The starting pitchers are throwing the ball well. But Riley was something else in that 4-game series. Hit 3 home runs. I think it was like 7 for 12. Just fabulous with the bat. And I looked up a stat. 111 years, the Atlanta Braves never had a rookie come up and hit 5 home runs in 8 games. And And that just is astonishing to me. And, I mean, he went down and hit Watson. They were down by two. And Watson's a pretty good lefty. He threw him a changeup, and he went down to shoe tops and hit it almost out dead center. And then Maranta came in an extra inning game and threw a slider that fell off the outer part of the plate, and he took it down the right field line for the game-winning hit. And it was just a tough at-bat. But he's dialed in. There's no doubt about it. He's a professional hitter. He understands the situations that are happening in front of him, and he looks for that hit when he needs it. And when they're down, he powers the ball out of the ballpark. Just a fabulous addition to this team. And, of course, while they were here, the Braves were talking about Bumgarner as well as Will Smith, who has just been dialed in all year as a closer. And I can see them going after Will Smith or maybe one or two more arms in the bullpen of the Giants. Dyson is another name they're looking at. That's about the only thing I can see that's a fault in that pitching staff. Their bullpen is not solid. And, of course, they've always been lacking that number one veteran pitcher, a starting staff that could be Bumgarner to help him.
Yeah, when I look at the Braves right now, I mean, Julio Teheran has done fine. He's been fine. They don't have enough faith in him to go beyond six innings because I know that the quality start is extremely a tough stat for Julio Teheran to come across. You're going to get five innings. In fact, in one of the Giant games, I think he went 5 2/3. His next outing, he goes five innings. You take a look at Mike Folti, he has not been healthy all season long. And so, you know, that's the one thing about this Braves team. Offensively, Bill, they can hang with anyone in the National League. I just don't know if they have the pitching, especially over the course of a 5 or 7 game set when you're going to have to face either the Dodgers and the Cubs at some point in time in the postseason.
Well, Jordan, you hit it right on the head there. They have a minor league system that has a ton of talent. And that's the nature of the beast. So you're going to trade a couple of those guys for a free agent like Bumgarner, and hopefully you can sign him for a long term, or you're going to take a couple of those guys and go after a Will Smith or a Dyson or even a Maranta who could help your bullpen, and they're covered in contracts where they're good for another year or two. So it's what do you want to do? And, you know, Keiko's name was also thrown in there as a possible starting pitcher for the Braves, and that's going to all come to fashion here once the MLB draft happens here in June. All those compensation picks will go away, and they'll sign as a free agent. So I see some things like that happening, and you also hear teams like Tampa Bay and the Yankees knocking on these guys' doors too.
Can I tell you the name that I think should be brought up as far as trade rumors as we get closer to it? I really think, and this is going to sound sacrilegious, I know, to a lot of people, the Nationals need to consider moving on from Max Scherzer at this particular time. This team is not good. He's going to be 35 years old next season. He hasn't been great this year, but look, the Nationals have been bad in general. I believe he's 2-5 with a 3.4 ERA or something to that point. Bill, at some point in time, Scherzer's name needs to be mentioned on the trade block. They lost Bryce Harper last year for nothing. They need to make sure they replenish something and get something out of Max Scherzer.
A great point, and we'll see if those names are even going to be looked at. And I keep going back to the Dodgers, too. The Dodgers are looking for that number one name, too, in that rotation. Kershaw saw him pitch yesterday. His breaking ball isn't as sharp as it used to be. Is his lower back still bothering him? Is his shoulder stiffening up? He's given up more runs lately than we've seen in the past. So, you know what? The Dodgers always have that ace in their back pocket that they can go out and get somebody like a Scherzer and dominate the rotation. You've got the Yankees are always dabbing into possibilities of big-name players over there. So we'll see as this trade deadline comes up and see what kind of names are being thrown. But I wouldn't doubt the Nationals starting to move some of that big talent.
Well, again, we're being joined right now by Bill Lasky, former Major League pitcher, now an analyst for the Giants and also the Sacramento RiverCats. Bill, you just mentioned the Dodgers, and we can kind of correlate this to Austin Riley. He's made history with the Atlanta Braves. Another guy in the National League with the Dodgers that has made history is Cody Bellinger, and he was unbelievable yesterday against the New York Mets. I came across this stat today, and it's mind-boggling. He has 19 home runs and 7 outfield assists this season. The last player to reach those totals through 52 games in a year, Babe Ruth in 1932.
That's a great stat right there, Jordan. That's something out of a baseball card kind of trivia question.
Yeah.
And those stats right there, you can't hide. And you and I talked briefly before we jumped on radio today about what he did on national television last night, not just the at-bats, but the three assists. And the throw at home was great, but the throw to third base was exceptional. Good player, quality player, MVP-type player. And you just scratch your head. This guy didn't even play in the World Series that much last year for the Dodgers, but he sure has put the cape on and be Superman for the Dodgers this year.
I want to jump over to the American League. You did talk about the Oakland A's, and we have to mention the A's. Part of the reason, Bill, I have to assume, part of the reason nobody is talking about the outstanding play as of late is because the best team in baseball very easily could be the Houston Astros. You could make that case, and they happen to share the same division from the A's. That's the only reason I can think of people not talking about Oakland at this stage in the season.
Totally right, and I tell you what, the Astros are for real. They're playing good baseball, defensively, offensively, starting pitching. Another team that just is locked in and pulled away in the AL West. And you're absolutely right again, 10-game winning streak, and it doesn't seem they moved up the ladder at all in the AL West. And a team that's just starting to generate. They're just starting to generate some momentum and played. They swept the Mariners. They beat the Angels yesterday. And they're getting the key hits, and they're getting the key home runs. And you and I talked about this all last year. The home run ball in that Oakland A's lineup comes from everybody. It's just not the middle of the order. And that's what's great to watch this team. It's an exciting team. Bob Melvin has really put some great pieces together. And we're going to see if they have any kind of contention to go to the wild card, because I don't think they'll be able to catch the Astros.
Well, and like you said, Chapman coming back, hitting the ball very well. I believe he leads the team in RBIs, or at least he's up at the top. This is a really fun team to watch, and I always try to tell people who maybe are just casual baseball fans, or maybe they just follow one specific team. I always try to watch this team. Last year, for me, it was the Braves. I loved watching the Braves. I thought they were playing a year ahead of schedule, and eventually that caught up with them in the playoffs. But if I have to tell someone to watch a team not from the area, for me, it's Oakland. I mean, it's a very, very fun team to watch front to back. Like you said, the power doesn't just come from the middle of the lineup. It's really spread throughout. I'm not a big AL guy, Bill. I love National League Baseball, but I catch myself watching the Oakland A's more and more day by day.
Jordan, I tell you what, I don't think I would watch the A's if I'm not out here. They're a team that's always middle of the pack, fighting for the top. No key players. Chris Davis is hurt. But I live in Northern California, and I have the A's and the Giants, and a lot of times they're playing in the same time or opposite times, and I love watching baseball like you do. And I've watched this 10-game winning streak, and it's hidden from baseball. They're not really glamorizing this. And you win 10 in a row in Major League Baseball, you should be on the front of every newspaper. But again, this team is the time under the radar, you know, stealth kind of guy. Team like Melvin wants. He doesn't want anybody. He doesn't want the praise. But he's locked in right now, and he's putting people at different positions. He's trying Piscotty, and Piscotty's dealing. I mean, you can go right down the lineup. All these players are dialed in right now. And like I said, they beat the Mariners 3. They're playing the Angels again. And the AL West is going to be a competition for them. But, you know, they're fighting to get back up in that contention with the Astros.
Bill Lasky, former Major League pitcher, now an analyst for the Giants and also the Sacramento River Cats. Bill, as always, let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
Just on Twitter, at Lasky19, and keep pushing forward. And just a couple respect points. Billy Buckner passed away at 69 years old, a good friend of mine, and Kelly Parrish, who played with the Reds, another close friend of mine, died of cancer this morning. Just wanted to reach out, and prayers going to both those guys.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Bill, thank you again for the time. Can't wait for our next conversation.
All right, buddy. Take care, Jordan.
We're going to break for just a moment. When we come back, we're going to continue on the baseball conversation. I'm going to be joined by Steve Bordstein, great friend of mine of Fox Sports 1340 in Farmington, New Mexico. We will talk about Bill Buckner. That's coming up next here on this Tuesday edition of Drive Time Sports.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 with Jordan Buscarini.
They're running down a drain that never would come to me. Running down a drain.
Welcome back to Drive Time Sports, KOAO 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. We are live from the Auto Farm Studios. We're going to talk some Major League Baseball. Some sad news earlier in the week on Monday. News broke of the passing of Bill Buckner, who has passed away at the age of 69 after battling dementia. Bill Buckner may in fact be one of the most misunderstood or, I guess, mislabeled athletes in the history of the game of baseball. And I think that's an appropriate conversation to have on the show today. And joining us to discuss that with us, we have a great friend, Steve Bordstein. He's the host of First Sports on Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico. Steve, as always, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
Appreciate the time. Thank you.
As I said, we're talking about Bill Buckner, maybe the most mislabeled player in the history of Major League Baseball. And I don't think that's an overstatement at all.
No, it's not. And, you know, it's easy for us as fans to remain angry at a player, you know, when it's the reminder of something bad happening. You and I are Dodgers fans. I mentioned the name Tom Niedenfuhr. All of a sudden, it conjures up images of the 85 playoffs, Jack Clark hitting a three-run homer to put the Cardinals in the World Series. That happens. Like, we do that. If you're a it even happens to people who are not players. All I got to do is mention the name Steve Bartman.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Cubs and the Red Sox have both won World Series since those incidents. But you look at a guy, you can mention Russell Wilson, and it'll conjure up images of Seattle in the Super Bowl. And Bill Buckner's that guy. Bill Buckner is that guy who, unfortunately, doesn't have a highlight resume where you could just click on YouTube and find, oh, Bill Buckner did this wonderful thing, and Bill Buckner did this fantastic thing. He doesn't have that. He was just a steady hitter, a guy who played the Major Leagues for 22 years, but he's remembered for little roller up along first, behind the bag, and the Vin Scully call, we all hear it. And it's unfortunate that that's the play he's remembered for, because the game wasn't law. If he makes the play at first, it's not like the Red Sox would have won the World Series. That game at that point would have been 5-5 going to the 11th. And it was Game 6. There was still one more game in which the Red Sox blew a 3-0 lead in the 6th inning. So it's unfortunate because so many people just know that play and think the Mets won the World Series on that play. No, they didn't win the World Series on that play. There was a whole other game, and it's unfortunate because for years it was just another reminder of that long, frustrating curse of the Red Sox.
Well, and I think, Steve, even taking it a step further, I was blown away at the lack of knowledge that the average baseball fan has on Bill Buckner. Very few people are aware that he really came into his own with the Los Angeles Dodgers before the Dodgers traded him, I believe it was 74 or 75, to the Chicago Cubs. He was a fine player, played 8 seasons with the Cubs, collected over 1,000 hits. He was very good. I think he was a 300 hitter, if memory serves me right, for the Cubs. Made a couple of All-Star appearances as well. And then he went on to the Red Sox when the Red Sox were desperate for first base help. They acquired Buckner in 84. I was blown away at the fact that people are unaware that this guy had a tremendous run in the National League.
Oh, yeah. This guy was tremendous in the National League. He came over the L.A. Dodgers in 1969. Ironically enough, he was a second-round draft pick. And the guy who was drafted ahead of him in the first round was Bobby Valentine, who, of course, coached them, who, of course, is manager of the Mets. It's a tremendous career. Here's another one that bothers me. And this goes back to the All-Star voting. Remember how the All-Star voting, you got that silly ballot, you had to punch the holes in it with the pens or whatever?
Yeah.
He played first base and outfield, so he was never really at one position long enough for anyone to really vote him into an All-Star game. He made the All-Star team once in his entire career. He won one batting title, but here's the numbers on the better side of it. He has more hits lifetime than Ted Williams. In the same time in which he played, only one player had more hits in Bill Buckner's career than Bill Buckner, and that player is Pete Rose. So, I mean, you look at these numbers, and unfortunately, again, he doesn't have that 3-home run game. I went and looked on YouTube before I did a segment about him on my show this morning, and it's like, oh, yeah, there's an inside-the-park home run that he hit in like a million years ago, and then there's this one game against such-and-such team, he had 7 RBIs. That's really it. Here's another amazing stat, and this kind of goes along with how baseball is today. You mentioned how, you know, it's tough to, you know, analyze players from different generations. There is not one single season in Bill Buckner's career resume, not one, where he struck out more than 40 times in a season. We watch players every day, Jordan, who are striking out 40 times in a month.
Bryce Harper, $300 million man.
Yeah, this guy didn't do it. This guy didn't strike out more than 40 times in a season ever. And so you tie that all in with this one play. And it's unfortunate because he's, was he a glamour player? No, he was just a guy, you know. But it's kind of the opposite effect of Kirk Gibson. I was talking about that this morning. Like, Kirk Gibson was a steady player. He hit home runs, but he was also just a rugged guy. But he'll always be remembered for the home run. You know, he's always remembered for game one. But that home run didn't win the Dodgers the World Series. That win just kind of changed the tune of the World Series. It changed the tide of that World Series because everyone considered the Oakland A's at that time with Mark McGwire, Jose Canseco, the Bash Brothers, to be this unhittable team, and it just changed the course of the World Series. So did Buckner's play, but it didn't cost them the World Series. And that, I think, is the unfortunate part, because when you look at that guy's career, he probably shouldn't have even been out there in the first place. He had a bad back. He was 37 years old. He probably should have been in the dugout at that point. And ironically enough, the guy who should have been at first base in that position, Dodgers manager Dave Roberts.
Yeah, how ironic is that?
And I'm sorry to interrupt. You know who started that game for the Red Sox? That game six, the game six starter at Shea Stadium in New York City, the Red Sox starter that game, Roger Clemens.
Interesting.
I mean, everything about that game, and it's so unfortunate that it's that play, and now we're sitting here talking about Bill Buckner all these years later. And I really want the narrative to not be about that one play, because he was really a really good, good ball player.
You know, though, Steve, I think in going back to some of the iconic plays, think about things, and you mentioned Steve Bartman. That did not lose the Chicago Cubs that series with the Florida Marlins. It did not. That particular play did not win the World Series for the Florida Marlins. But the fact of the matter is, it was the Chicago Cubs. It was in the middle of a curse. They hadn't won a World Series, and at that particular time, I can't even remember how long it was, something like 80-something years. You go back to Buckner, it's with the Boston Red Sox. And I could even throw a positive out there. The NBA, you go back to 1970, and you will see this play over and over again. Jerry West hits a 60-footer to send Game 3 of the NBA Finals into overtime against the Knicks. Well, guess what? The Lakers didn't even win that game. They didn't win that series, right? But we see that play over and over. And I guess it's kind of the story of maybe it's because it's connected to historical franchises. I mean, if Bill Buckner makes this error in the World Series and he plays for the Toronto Blue Jays, are we still talking about it today? I don't think we are.
No, I think a lot of it had to do with the curse. And you're right. I mean, you look at the Steve Bartman thing. If that happens in any other game for any other team that maybe had already won a title the last 10, 15 years, something like that, no. But it is tied into that curse. And thank goodness the Red Sox have won World Series since, right? I mean, because otherwise, the reaction today is much more viral. And I'm sure there's going to be the tributes. I'm sure there would be. But not nearly as many as there would have been. You know, the anger would have been far, far, far more prevalent, you know, if they hadn't won the World Series. But it does bring up how we remember players. And it's ironic because the same weekend over in football, of course, we lost Bart Starr. And no one has a bad word to say about Bart Starr because he's a five-time NFL champion, but he doesn't have that one fumble play. Like, if he doesn't get in from the one-yard line in the Ice Bowl, that's the play we're going to focus on, right? No, because the Packers won Super Bowls. They were a dominant team. But if they hadn't won them, oh, yeah, I guarantee you they're going to show that failed attempt or whatever it was in the Ice Bowl. If that had failed, that would have been the narrative around Bart Starr. It's both unfortunate, and I understand it from the fan perspective, how one play generally defines one person's overall career, both good and bad.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate. It really is. And I was trying to wrap my head around this all weekend. You know, is there a specific athlete out there that's going to be remembered, not for a bad incident, because, look, Ron Artest is always going to be remembered for the brawl at the Palace of Auburn Hills, and he should. It was a despicable display. Mike Tyson is going to be known for biting off Evander Holyfield's ear. He probably should. It was absolutely despicable. I'm not talking about events. If we're talking about plays, and let me be clear, there's a big difference between sports. Can you think of another athlete that has a specific play tied to their legacy in a negative way, like Bill Buckner?
The first one that comes to mind And I don't even know why it came to mind, but as soon as you started throwing the, as soon as you started the segue, it's Larry Johnson with a timeout, right?
Chris Webber?
Yeah, Chris Webber. I'm sorry, that's right. Chris Webber with the timeout.
Okay. Yeah.
One, because how do you not know? How do you not know that situation? I get it. It's instinct. I get that. Okay. So let's throw instinct out for a second. I'm trying to think of one other. I mean, that's the one that comes to mind. A dumb one, and I say this only because it's a football thing. The opening play of the Super Bowl loss, Denver versus Seattle. Peyton Manning, the ball goes over his head, and then the wheels just come off the team. Granted, that's the beginning of the game, but it just was this. It just, from everything that happened afterwards, it just spiraled, right?
Right.
Those are the two that come to mind right away. I that's a great question, though.
You know, going back and to the Chris Webber timeout, one of the things again that we have to mention: Michigan's down in that game with 12 seconds.
Right.
They're losing 73-71. North Carolina has all the momentum of the world. Michigan had a chance to win that game, but if you erase the timeout from Chris Webber's legacy, there's no guarantee that Michigan still wins that game. And so I think you can kind of connect the dots to all these plays that these individuals are remembered for in a negative way. Michigan probably loses that game regardless if Chris Webber calls a timeout or not. And again, to be fair, without Chris Webber, Michigan's not in that spot. It's unfair that after everything that he accomplished in the NBA, he never won a championship, so I guess we still go back to it. I like that that thought and that comparison a lot.
No, they're great comparisons. I mean, and I think that's what we do. And I think, like, on the flip side of it, you know, as far as the good ones are concerned, I mean, and again, I think the Russell Wilson comparison, I think that one's there. And I don't know if that's more on Russell Wilson or if that's more on Pete Carroll, right? I think you can make that argument that it could be on both of them. If you want to look at the one great play, and again, didn't end the World Series, but Kirk Gibson.
Yeah.
At one play. There's so many that you can go on that end of the spectrum. Christian Laettner, right? The Christian Laettner shot, the pass from Grant Hill. The Michael Jordan shot against the Jazz, right? I mean, that one. Is that the one that's against Utah, I think it is, or Cleveland. I forget who it is. But the shot he makes at the buzzer.
He had one against Cleveland and one against Utah. The one against Utah was in the NBA Finals.
Right, okay, the one against Utah in the NBA Finals. Now, those plays there. Derek Fisher, you know, ending the series against the Spurs. You know, I mean, those are iconic moments, and those are the good side of it. But we remember those with this sense of pride. We remember those with this sense of, oh, wow, these are great moments. I can't tell you how many times in the last 24 hours I've seen the Bill Buckner play at first base.
You know, and I guess kind of rewriting history a bit, you go back to Kobe Bryant's rookie year. He puts up two air balls in an elimination game against the Jazz in the state of Utah. Two air balls as a 19-year-old kid. Perhaps we forget about that because he came back and won 5 NBA championships and got better. I don't know. Maybe if Buckner and the Red Sox had won the World Series the following year, maybe we're not talking about it. Maybe if Chris Webber wins an NBA championship, we're not talking about it. I don't know, because Kobe Bryant had it was mind-boggling that he put up two terrible shots that barely drew net in an elimination game, and we really don't talk about that anymore.
Right. And again, I think that's where, as fans, we select, we pick and choose the things we want to remember, right? I mean, as fans, we will look back on an incident. Again, it goes back to, thank God, the Red Sox won a World Series. And I'm so glad that when they did, they reached out to Buckner and said, hey, we want you here. We want you to throw out the first pitch. And I remember the column that Bob Ryan, who at that time was a feature columnist for the Boston Globe, like, he called him a monster after that play.
Unbelievable.
He called him a monster. Okay, I get it. I understand it. But that's going to linger. And one of the clips that I remember from the 30 for 30 special, I believe it was, that ESPN did years later, and you could tell even then that he was starting to you know, have, he was starting to go through some of the issues that later on would claim his life with the dementia issues. But he blamed the media. He said it wasn't tough to forgive the fans. It wasn't tough with them. It was tough for him to forgive the media. And I can't imagine going home to something like that. I can't imagine being in New York City, losing that game six, waking up the next morning, you're 100, you're 200, 300 miles away from Boston, and you see the papers the next day. You see the, you know, you hear about them at least at that time. And they're calling you a monster.
Yeah, I mean, really, just all the way around when you take a look at it. I know that that was the story yesterday from the national media, and I'm very appreciative, Steve, of the fact that they downplayed the error and talked a little bit more about Bill Buckner, the player. And I thought last night, Scott Van Pelt, I rarely watch ESPN, but I happened to last night because it popped on right after the Dodgers-Mets game. I thought that Scott Van Pelt had a terrific monologue regarding the career of Bill Buckner.
And that was what I tried to do this morning as well. I do a segment on the show. It's like the morning monologue thing. And I didn't see Scott Van Pelt's piece. I went to sleep after the game was over. But I'll try and check it out today. My thing was, at no point in time am I going to play footage of the monologue. I don't want to play footage of the error. I want to talk about the inside the park home run. I downloaded clips off YouTube, and I downloaded that one. I downloaded the 7 RBI game. I downloaded a game-winning walk-off single that he had. Because that's the Bill Buckner that should be remembered in a tribute piece. When you're doing an obit piece about a celebrity, you don't bring up their worst moment. You just don't do that. And I didn't want to do that this morning, and I'm glad to see that other people are kind of doing that. Again, I understand clickbait. I understand, let's look at the error from 74 different angles, and now with Twitter we can do all sorts of funny images with it. Let's not do that, because this guy was a really good ball player. He was an obvious example of someone who understood forgiveness a little bit, understood his place in history a little bit, and tried to, you know, teach some perspective. And I thought that was really important.
Terrific stuff. Again, Steve Bortstein, he's the host of First Sports on Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico. I will close out this segment with this one stat. And again, for those who will remember Bill Buckner for one of his worst moments as a baseball player, only five players from 1972 to 1982 with over 5,000 at-bats had a 300-plus average. Rod Carew, Al Oliver, Pete Rose, Steve Garvey, and Bill Buckner. Pretty elite category, to say the least. Steve, before I let you go, please let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
Weekdays, 7 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time or 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Fox AM 1340, 93.9 FM here in New Mexico. We broadcast across the northwest part of the state, and of course you can also listen online via the iHeartRadio app. You can download that to your smartphone or wireless device, and you can listen to us on our website at foxsports1340.com. Weekday mornings, First Sports, 7 to 10 a.m. Then, of course, on weekends, I host the Fast Track, a nationally syndicated horse racing show. We're a little more than a week and a half away now from the Belmont Stakes, the third and final jewel of racing's Triple Crown, and I host that also on Fox AM 1340, 93.9 FM, also on the website through the iHeartRadio app. You can also follow me on Twitter at Fox 1340 AM.
Steve, it's always a pleasure. Thank you again for the time. I know we'll talk again real soon.
Looking forward to it, my friend. Thank you.
We've got a break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return.
Hi, folks. I'm Bob Barker, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini. Now remember, help control the pet population. Have your pets spayed or neutered.
We're just about out of time on this edition of Drive Time Sports. Love the conversation with Steve Bortstein. It's one that will always carry weight in the world of sports. It's always going to be evolving. It's always going to be changing. Athletes that are known for one bad particular play. And again, I feel very bad for Bill Buckner, who had an extraordinary career. And again, you put him in some elite company, really, when you take a look at the statistics. Yet the majority of people only remember the one play. It's too bad. Really, it is. A great show. Love talking Major League Baseball. Bill Lasky, Steve Bortstein, always kind enough to take out the time to join us on the show. Tomorrow, we'll be on the eve of the NBA Finals, so we will talk about that. We're going to be joined by Jameson Welsh, great friend of mine. We'll carry on a conversation about the upcoming series. And look, I honestly believe that the Raptors are going to make this a more compelling series than most think. Kevin Durant will travel with the team. That is now being announced, that he will travel with the team to Toronto, which means we could see him in Game 2. Now he's, I think he's partaking in shoot-around. But if he does not play, let's say he misses Game 1 and 2, and Toronto steals both Game 1 and 2. I shouldn't say steals because they're at home. I thoroughly believe they can win this series. Now, when KD comes back, it's a completely different dynamic, and they do not match up nearly as well as Milwaukee would have. So I think there's some interesting nuances. There's a couple of things you have to consider in this series. It's all about matchups. Matchups will make this series, and without KD, Kawhi Leonard is going to play even a bigger role, specifically on the defensive end of the floor. You want to lock up Klay Thompson? You're going to have the ability to do that as long as Kawhi Leonard doesn't have to worry about Kevin Durant. I think that's a really interesting scenario going into the NBA Finals. And while I don't think Toronto wins, I think the Raptors will have a great chance of making noise in this series if they can, in fact, get a couple of games before KD comes back. We'll talk about that on the show tomorrow. We're also going to be joined by former San Francisco 49er running back and former BYU running back Jamal Willis. He's actually coming to the Castle Country June 8th to hold a speed and agility camp as well as a running backs camp for kids here in the Castle Country. We'll talk to Jamal Willis about his coaching techniques. He did play for Lavelle Edwards at BYU. They had a couple of big wins during his tenure. He was there from 91 to 94. They beat Notre Dame in South Bend. They beat Oklahoma in the Copper Bowl. We'll talk to Jamal Willis about that and, of course, the upcoming camps here in the Castle Country. That'll be on the show tomorrow. Thank you to Steve Bordstein and thank you to Bill Lasky. For Travis Anderson, I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We're out.